Welcome back. So there are millions of people out there who want to be able to receive unvaccinated blood if they go in for surgery or other medical procedures. But for most people, this isn't possible at all, even though the dangers of being vaccinated are being proven larger and larger by the day. Now, according to some reports, there's now additional DNA being discovered inside of the mRNA shots. This DNA, we're told, is extremely harmful and can infiltrate human cells to cause drug resistance. For example, resistance to antibiotics, exposing people to illness and death from all kinds of common diseases, viruses, if you believe in those. Now, all of this is highly relevant to people who receive blood transfusions since they're weak and vulnerable to disease already. But yet the Red Cross still refuses to separate vaccinated from unvaccinated blood. They just claim, without conducting a single study, that there's no evidence vaccinated and unvaccinated blood are different. Well, we've disproven this with Dr. Anna Mihelcha, of course, and more. And since donated blood is all mixed together into these large vats and containers, this basically means that all of the Red Cross blood is going to be tainted with mRNA. This is a criminal act. We're going to put these people at the top of the Nuremberg 2 list, designate them a terrorist organization, and treat them accordingly. But until then, what can you do? Well, just about the only option is to receive a blood transfusion directly from another compatible, unvaccinated individual. But even then, how do you make sure that that blood is safe? Well, for that, we turn to Dr. Kathleen Ruddy. Dr. Ruddy is the author of The End of Breast Cancer, A Virus and the Hope for a Vaccine. She's treated more than 6,000 patients over her career. She's the creator of the ongoing Pink Virus Project, which tries to dig into the causes of breast cancer as well as its potential cures. And Dr. Ruddy joins us now. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. How big of a threat is this unvaccinated versus vaccinated blood? And how do people find a solution to this?
Well, Stu, we can look to a Danish study that was published in January, in which scientists examined the blood of a group of people to see if they could identify the presence of the synthetic spike protein. Now, I have to sort of air quotes that naturally occurring spike protein wasn't really natural, but it is distinctly different from that which is produced as a result of the mRNA vaccines. So the question was, can you tell the difference between the naturally occurring spike protein and the one that is synthetically produced as a result of the vaccines? And the Danish scientists said yes. And furthermore, they were able to detect the presence of that synthetic spike protein in 10% of the patients they studied up to 28 days after they were vaccinated. So let's go back to your opening statement that all of the blood is contaminated. Well, it's not exactly all of the blood. If we use the 10% and then we do back of the envelope arithmetic, there were 11 million blood transfusions in the country last year. 10%, right, gives us a smaller number. And then if we look to see what percentage of those patients would have spike protein in the bags of blood that they received, the answer is about 770,000 bags of blood contained spike protein last year. Now, the spike protein was designed as a bioweapon, and the spike protein works very well as a bioweapon. And so those people who have received one of those bags of blood with spike protein are theoretically, hypothetically, in danger. The Red Cross, which answers to the FDA in terms of regulatory authority, has decided not to look at the potential hazard of the presence of spike protein in over 700,000 bags of blood. We're not going to be able to persuade them to do that in time for the patients in this country, the 11 million patients in this country, who need blood. And as you say, if they need blood, they need it right now. I'm a surgeon. You don't wait around if you need blood, you need it. And so Radius Health Exchange has established the first online unvaccinated blood donor registry so that we can facilitate, and there's a mechanism for doing this. We don't have to create a blood bank. We don't have to reinvent the Red Cross. There's a mechanism whereby we can access unvaccinated blood from unvaccinated blood donors and use screening tests to show that, in fact, that blood has not been removed from someone who's been vaccinated, and then provide it for someone who needs a blood transfusion who would prefer to have unvaccinated blood.
That's so what are the steps to accomplishing this, Dr. Ruddy? I mean, how does somebody who needs blood right now participate in this process?
Well, you go to Radius Health Exchange and you can do one of several things. You can sign up as an unvaccinated blood donor. The information that we take is HIPAA compliant and it's very minimal. We want to know a contact information. We want to know your blood type. And we want to know where you live. Okay. That is all protected and no one has access to that information without going through a physician gatekeeper. This is a physician-led company, by the way. So the gatekeeper has all of that information on lockdown. Someone who needs to have unvaccinated blood, wants to have unvaccinated blood, can go to Radius Health Exchange and then can search the directory of physicians, surgeons, osteopaths who are in a position to complete the paperwork required for the blood transfusion. So you can go to Radius Health Exchange and sign up as an unvaccinated blood donor. If you need blood, you can go to Radius Health Exchange and you can find a provider who'll be able to do that for you. Now, maybe you already have a blood donor. You know somebody from church, whatever, they're unvaccinated. So all you need is the paperwork. Maybe you've got a need for an unvaccinated blood, but you don't have a physician who can arrange that. We can do that for you. And furthermore, and this is very important, not every hospital in the country will allow you to have a directed blood donation. University of Virginia does not allow a direct blood donation. I know I had a patient there. It was an opera, okay? So we discharged her from the hospital, sent her to West Virginia. A physician in West Virginia was able to fill out the paperwork. We identified a blood donor. She got her blood transfusion. That's what we do.
We had the mother of a small baby on this program not long ago. She was demanding to have unvaccinated blood. The hospital refused to comply with her request or demand, and they gave that baby vaccinated blood. And 2 weeks later, that baby was dead after turning black and blue all over the place. Now, I did not say that all of the blood is vaccinated or tainted, but what I did say is that the Red Cross still refuses to separate the vaccinated from the unvaccinated blood. Is that a criminal act, knowing what's happening to people who receive this injection, in your opinion?
I think it qualifies as malpractice. If you have a cogent concern for the safety of any intervention, medical intervention, and you fail to take that into consideration and act appropriately, if you fail to give the patient or the parent in this case the ability to choose what's best for their child. So for instance, if these parents were told it's hospital policy, we don't give direct blood donation. However, if that's what you want, you can go across the street to Hackensack Hospital or Memorial Sloan Kettering, where I trained. We have identified on Radius Health Exchanges the hospitals in the country that will allow direct blood donation. I had a patient who had a child born, needed a blood transfusion. Okay. Hospital was not going to allow a direct blood donation. The child's life was not in immediate jeopardy. I said, transfer the baby. That's what they did. Transfer the baby to another hospital and get the blood that you want and that you need.
Should people be nervous about emergencies, car accidents, you know, motorcycle accidents, things like this? I mean, you go into a hospital, ostensibly you're unconscious. They perform life-saving procedures, which may include the introduction of donated blood to your body. What do you do at that point? I mean, is there anything that you can do? People advocating for you, I mean, what would you suggest that people do in these emergency situations?
Well, in a trauma situation, you really don't have any choice, quite frankly. I mean, I've worked the trauma center down in Newark, and what you're trying to do is just keep that patient alive. The patients coming into the trauma center, by and large, will just like, please help me. I don't want to die. Okay. So do what you can do. However, if patients who require surgery, cardiac surgery, hip surgery, whatever, who may need to have a blood transfusion. They can go to Radius Health Exchange and they can take a look at the hospitals that we have thus far identified where you can have a direct blood donation. So if you have a little bit of a lead time that you might need a blood transfusion, then you can tee this up more appropriately. But sad to say, right now, until the Red Cross and the FDA, because as I said, the FDA has regulatory authority over the Red Cross. So until the FDA agrees to screen the blood for the presence of the vaccinated spike protein, then if you are the victim of trauma, then go with God.
The FDA needs to be designated as a terrorist organization also and treated accordingly. This is a really big deal. So one more time, what is the website for people to be able to go to and participate in this program?
RadiusHealthExchange.com, the Unvaccinated Blood Donor Registry, and our healthcare professional directory.
All right. Listen, we normally only have 10 minutes for these segments, which is absolutely not enough time when we're talking to experts like you. But I'm going to blow through this break because I think that this is really big as well. And I can probably extend this about another four or five minutes. And I want to ask you about this. So in that short amount of time, there are reports now that there's additional DNA being discovered inside of these mRNA shots. What is this DNA? How damaging is it? How big is this? Are these findings? I mean, how important is this?
I was shocked. 27% of the content, genetic contents of these vaccines is DNA. So the RNA vaccine actually contains 27% DNA. What kind of DNA? And is this contamination? No. Whatever got into those vials, let's be clear, it didn't come from a fish market or a pangolin, okay? It didn't jump species. It was put in the vial, okay? So what kind of DNA we're talking about? We're talking about plasmids, which are double-stranded circles. So think of them as wheels of DNA surrounded by the lipid nanoparticle, which acts as a heat shield. So you get the DNA surrounded by lipid nanoparticle. The lipid nanoparticle can get in any cell in the body. The DNA gets inside the cell. Okay, the human cell. Well, the human body is very much on the alert for foreign DNA, and it eats it up. So there may or may not be a great deal of damage done to human cells directly as a result of this DNA getting inside the human cell. However, approximately 1-3% of your body is composed of bacteria. We need these bacteria. They're in your gut. They help control all kinds of other digestive processes and what have you. These plasmids can roll their way into the bacteria. They appear to contain antibiotic resistance genes. What do you think, Stu? Is that what we need, more antibiotic resistance? No. What are they doing there? What are they doing there? Who put them there? Why did they put them there? They can get into the bacteria, and if 1-3% of your body is now becoming a factory for the production of these antibiotic resistant genes, I would hazard a guess that that's a problem.
Wow. We would like answers to that. Do you have any idea what the answers to that are? Who's responsible for this? Why they're there? Who put them in there?
Well, I'll tell you what the scientists can do. I can tell you what the medical profession can do. We can answer the question, what exactly is there and what harm is being done? And you will not have to wait long to get those answers. If you want the answer to why did it get there to begin with, somebody put it there. This is not an accident. This is not contamination. If you want to know why they are contaminating a bioweapon,
yeah.
Why not? If you're going to go to the trouble of making a bioweapon, and
then you have to do whatever you have to do to make your weapon of biowarfare effective.
Well, what you can do, think of this like cyber warfare. You release a virus, right? Because this is the same thing. Cyber warfare and biowarfare are basically the same things expressed differently. It's code. So in cyber warfare, you release code into the computer for the purpose of disrupting and destroying something. Biowarfare in the context of the virus is the same thing. So you can release a virus, but in this case, it's really the spike protein, not the coronavirus. And then you can amplify it. you amplify it with a vaccine, and then maybe you amplify it with some DNA. Now, this is high octane speculation, as Catherine Austin Fitz would say, but it's reasonable. We're not just making this up. What's the DNA doing there? It's dangerous to be there. If we roll back and we say this is a bioweapon, then perhaps the DNA augments the destructive ability of this bioweapon.
These people need to be held to account.
I hope so. Yeah. Criminal charges, malfeasance, fraud, felony murder. Okay. I'm all about the civil litigation, but money is not going to make up for the fact that the COO's father was murdered. Okay. By remdesivir. There's no amount of money that you can give him to make up for the fact that his father is gone and that that man cannot have a relationship going forward with his grandchildren. He's got three grandsons, okay? They don't know their grandfather any longer. So fine, civil litigation, great, go for it. Criminal prosecution is where we need to be.
And extreme accountability. Dr. Kathleen Ruddy, thank you so much for being here. We hope to have you back again sometime real soon to dig deeper into this DNA. And as you continue to find more in your research on this, we hope that you will reach back out to our producers to come back. And also for everything that you're doing with this blood transfusion directive, we really appreciate your efforts. This is going to save potentially millions of lives. People being infected with this and attacked with this weapon of biowarfare should be demanding right now the accountability of the Red Cross, the accountability of the FDA. They should be demanding that their politicians, like the tough-talking Ron DeSantis in Florida, actually follows up with real action against these criminals who are perpetuating a mass-level kill-off like we have never seen before. So we hope to have you back very soon. Thank you so much again for being here.